This is Audible.
Earth is hiring. The new way to live, lead, earn, and give for millennials and anyone who gives a shit. By Peter Kelly. Tag, you're it. To my homie. Tag, I'm gifting this book to you because when I think of the world's conscious badasses, you come into my heart. Thank you for everything that you are for our world. Thank you for giving a shit. Thank you for being gloriously and messily you. I'm so grateful to be on this beautiful earth at the same time as you. Let's do this. Or more importantly, let's be this. Love all around the galaxies and back from me. For Sol, my beautiful, brilliant daughter, who was in my womb at the time of writing this, and will be in my arms at the time you're listening to it. Sol, you inspire me more than any person on earth. I hope our generation makes you proud.
When I first discovered Peta Kelly, I scrolled through her Instagram page like a kid in a candy shop. Wide-eyed at her posts, aka mic drops of wisdom, I could hear her voice through the screen. So fierce and powerful, yet so inviting. I remember being in disbelief at not only the way she spoke so high level, but that she did it in such a badass way. Not to mention with 100% humility. No spiritual better than thou. I instantly felt a deep respect for PETA and the way that she serves the world. By the time I met PK in person, I'd been channeling Delighted by Hummus, my chief entity as PK calls it, for over a year. I had the privilege of being connected to her event, The New Way Live. As I dished out dessert hummus for her attendees, I listened in the back, awestruck at what she was rapping about on stage. Her words reflected the exact theories I'd been applying to Delighted By since inception, but because I'd never heard anyone else speak or write about them, I was shocked to hear them come out of her mouth. I had in fact only been introduced to these trinkets of wisdom through dozens of ayahuasca ceremonies. In these ceremonies, I was invited to see my entity, Delighted By, a her, as separate from me, to get out of my own way and simply be the channel, and to remember that abundance is my divine birthright. I had been applying these concepts to my entity, but to be truthful, I wasn't speaking about them publicly because my head was down, focusing on the business itself. What PETA calls the new way of business was already really working for me, so to hear her bring these messages to her tribe left me with, thank God someone is talking about this. Not only did PK bring it all to the next level for me, she also gave me the freedom to keep doing what I was doing, to stay focused, because now I knew that PETA was getting the real message out there. As my friendship with PK developed, my respect continued to increase. The way she connects to her tribe so authentically and humbly is next to none. She's a daily invitation into being more thoughtful, compassionate, big thinking, and wild. How can someone up to so much epic shit also be so there for her loved ones, while also staying radically committed to her own happiness? PETA doesn't get up on a platform to preach. No, she stands up tall and asks, how can I serve today in the way I speak, write, nourish my body, and circulate resources? You can count on PETA to not just envision change, but to be change. Count on PETA to not shame the current issues, but to co-create the world she desires. Count on PETA to do her magic by simply recognizing her own responsibility in it all. Last but not least, you can count on PETA to be the first to claim her humanness and imperfections. I love the way she can recognize it, bring it forward playfully, and remind us to not take ourselves too seriously. It's hard to find the words to explain just what PETA means to me. She is the voice of our generation. She is a true initiator. She has been trusted with one of the most important messages of our time. We're all listening to PETA, and for good reason. We trust her because we can feel that Mother Earth trusts her. When I tap into PK's old soul, I feel a brilliant, extraterrestrial, galactic goddess that united with an indigenous tribal earth shaman, who then morphed into a thought leader with extra swag and extra humor. I love her fierceness that she has for the planet, for humanity, but above all, for herself. PK gives us permission through her example to live a super badass, abundant, fun life while also making a difference. I know it wasn't easy, however, being the one that went first, which is why I bow down to her courage. PETA hasn't even hit the tip of the iceberg of what she's bringing through in this lifetime. It's pretty insane to think about when you recognize the thousands of lives she's already impacted. One time, I asked PETA if I could be the one to introduce her to stage at a future event of hers. I just wanted the chance to publicly announce just how epic this human really is, especially now that I had seen her realness and alignment behind the scenes. PETA is honest as fuck. She is committed to her own alignment, no matter what people think about it. She's open and authentic about her real-life experiences, and she has boldly said yes to speaking up. When PK asked me to write the foreword to her book, Earth is Hiring, I bawled my eyes out on the beach. And I'm crying as I write this now, because to me, Earth is Hiring is the most important book ever written. To give my blessing to PK's big, beautiful, aligned voice in this way is one of the top honors of my life. All that is left for me here is sincere gratitude to my lion twin, Peta Jean Kelly. PK, you are one in a trillion. I have taken on you and your life mission as personal commitments and top priorities, which is why I'm infinitely grateful to Eric as well for his unconditional love and presence in overseeing the Earth Angel you are. You deserve the best. You constantly teach me and inspire me, and above all, you leave me and my soul with a constant message, keep going. Thank you for being my family. Thank you for being a guardian and cheerleader for my entities. Thank you for connecting the dots for so many people by simply spreading your beautiful wings and flying. I am so fucking proud of you. Love, Mackenzie.
First, a letter to my little starseed. When I was 9 months old, my mum took me to get the routine checkup to make sure I wasn't deaf. My ears were the same size as Mickey Mouse's, so I'm not quite sure why they needed testing. My poor mum had to take me back 5 more times to have the same tests, because every time I went, I wouldn't cooperate with the nurses. I'd wriggle around and ignore their prompts. Don't ask me how I was so badass back then. I just was. On the final visit, they gave up. They said to my mum, "Christine, we can't tell if Peta is deaf, but we can tell that she has attitude." Attitude is the greatest piece of equipment, other than a love of Backstreet Boys and The Parent Trap, the universe could have placed in my DNA back in 1988. Attitude is the greatest piece of equipment the universe could have placed into the DNA of all millennials. Attitude is what I like to call divine intolerance. Divine intolerance is the greatest gift we have to give to you, your generation, and to our entire planet. Divine intolerance is why we work all day long at stand-up desks, wearing our ripped Levi's and no shoes to build conscious enterprises that replace those that are abusing our earth. Divine intolerance is why we work all day long at stand-up desks, wearing our ripped Levi's and no shoes to build conscious enterprises that replace those that are abusing our earth. Divine intolerance is why we don't watch TV or listen to the radio, because we can't believe Big Pharma still tries to trick us out of our innate health with their, "If you take this medication for a common cold, you will grow 3 boobs and acne on your eyeballs." Divine intolerance is why we change our minds about old dogmas and teachings that we may have learned in school, because they just don't make sense in our souls. Divine intolerance is what some people call ADD, but is simply an intolerance for being told to sit at a desk all day when our minds are simply too brilliant and adventurous. Divine intolerance is why we don't buy into the old models of success that tell us that a mortgage and a daily traffic jam and sucking up a boss's butt is what will help us reach the top. There's no top. Divine intolerance is why 95% of millennials don't want to work for a company that puts profit before purpose. Divine intolerance is how our generation teaches the world what is needed, relevant, and required for us to evolve in a way that has all people, all countries, all beings thriving. Baby, my generation's divine intolerance for what's no longer working is what's going to ensure we give this planet to you with a whole new book of standards. You didn't choose to come to planet Earth in 2017 to do what everyone else is doing, to say what everyone else is saying, or to tolerate what most people are tolerating. And that's why I don't have a worry in the world for you coming down to Earth during this crazy time. I know that you and your little buddies are equipped with powers and magic that nobody on Earth right now can comprehend, and that you're coming with your greatest piece of equipment ever, divine intolerance. When I have moments of, "Oh God, they're actually drilling into our sacred lands for more oil," I look down at my belly and see that you're not worried. You're smiling with your rad, evolved, specially wired DNA, saying, "Don't worry, Mum, you should see the equipment I have." And I say, "But baby, do you have your..." "Yes, Mum, I have my divine intolerance. Don't worry, I wouldn't come down to Earth without it." I love you so much. Love, Mum. And now to you, my homie. And in the early 1980s, before millennials descended upon Earth, God gathered them in a team huddle. All right, guys, the population is about to grow. We're going to hit an intense point in evolution where shit feels really dense and chaotic, and the Earth and all of her creatures are going to need you more than ever. So listen up. I've put some very specific equipment inside your DNA. Some of it's really cool, and some of it's going to be really annoying to your parents. You'll know what to do when you get there. It will be natural for you. Make me proud, but have fun, okay? Fist bump. And don't worry. You'll be rewarded with Tamagotchis. Good talk. See you out there. Preface. Start here. Do not pass go until you listen. Change the world, they said. Okay, we said. We'll change the world. And now we can't stop saying it. World changer, change maker, game changer. Three terms we use as commonly as we roll our eyes at plastic wrap and companies with no social cause. Three terms that feature frequently on our Instagram bios or in our conversations about our high-performing friends. Three terms we hashtag so we can find other people who want to hashtag crush it, hashtag change the world, hashtag be the change. We're obsessed with changing the world, and we feel it's what we're here to do. But what does that even mean? Doesn't every generation change the world? Yeah, but it's our turn. We are the millennials, and I am so proud of millennials. I do wish we had a better, newer name for our generation, though. Millennials sort of makes us sound like video game-loving, bubblegum-popping, Spice Girl shoe-wearing brats who are still rocking those New Year's Eve glasses from 2000. But for now, fuck it. Millennial it is. Millennials, we are. What is a millennial? Theoretically, it's a word used to describe the group of people on Earth born roughly between 1981 and 2001. It's not written in stone. It's not something slapped on your birth certificate. It's not something that gets put under your name on your driver's license. It's not a tattoo you get at birth so the rest of the world can recognize you and know to stay away from you and your gang. There is no mark to indicate millennial, but nonetheless, we know who we are. We grew up on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Backstreet Boys, Tamagotchis, Butterfly Clips, Sony Discmans, Nokia 3310, and Snake, Pogs, MSN Messenger, Koosh Balls, the theme song to The Nanny, Home Alone, the Macarena, and how we butchered that Spanish chorus, De la Capula Cualamila Macarena. Hanson, oh my god, Taylor, drool. We collected Pogs and traded Pokemon at our local markets. There was a graphics calculator that we used to write 8008 on, which meant boob, and choker necklaces, hoop earrings, Saved by the Bell, MC Hammer, Neopets, Sims. Remember those little string fringes we let hang around our face while the rest of our hair was gelled back? So sultry. Or the way boys spike their hair like Scott from Five? Hot. And most importantly, we grew up with digital technology, although some of us were born into analog. Wild. We were the first group of kids ever to be able to use the internet. Dial up. So slow. So painful. But those 37 minutes of scratchy sound was so worth it. To be able to finally get on MSN or AOL chat and ask, ASL? Hit me up, peterbum_888. Older generations often refer to us as selfish, or the ones always on those bloody devices, or spoilt, and entitled, or silver platter kids, or selfie lovers, or, as I most recently read, Generation Snowflake. Millennials are the most studied, analyzed, and talked about generation yet. This has been suggested by the U.S. Chamber Foundation and Forbes, but you only need 10 minutes on Google to discover anything, from where millennials prefer to live to how many sleep with their phones beside their bed. People are desperate to understand millennials because we're just so different. It's as if we're an alien species who accidentally came falling out of starships in the 1980s. Oops, better keep them. Simon Sinek, author, speaker, marketing consultant, and someone I hugely admire and respect, recently shared his explanation of millennials. I love how Simon takes highly intelligent ideas and breaks them down by using straightforward language for the masses to understand. Millennial was his latest highly intelligent idea. Here are his key points. Tough to manage, result of failed parenting strategies, don't know how to form deep and meaningful relationships, told they were special and could have anything they wanted in life, can't handle rejection, growing up with lower self-esteem, super impatient and rely on instant gratification thanks to the digital age in which they grew up. The world leapt at it, gobbled it up, shared it around the interwebs like crazy, millions of times over, and people commented the likes of, makes so much sense. People were just so damn happy to finally have some reasoning to explain how on earth an entire generation could possibly be different from the one before us. I struggle to read the comments on videos like that, as well-intentioned as they are. Just like I struggle to watch Steve Jobs documentaries. I feel fiercely protective of Steve Jobs, and I feel fiercely protective of millennials, for similar reasons. Steve Jobs came to Earth genetically equipped to be different than most people, because he was assigned to do a specific job. He did that job, and now the world rejoices in his brilliance and the wild convenience he allows us through the never-ending gifts of Apple. When he died, people tried desperately to understand him. Why wasn't he nicer to his wife and kids? Why was he such an outcast? Was he autistic? Why couldn't he just be the complete package? Apparently, he was a dickhead to his staff. People sometimes are unable to see people for the unique genetic gifts they're given, for their contributions to this earth. That's why I get so pissed off when people spend so long focusing on all the shit parts of his vision, turning a somewhat blind eye to the fact that he did his job. He did his best. He fulfilled his mission. If he tried to please the entire population on earth and have everyone understand him, like him, praise him, then you wouldn't have that slim device in your hand that enables you to take your vital signs at the same time as calling your mum, paying your bills, counting your calories, and seeing what your friends 4,000 miles away are doing. He came to Earth with a purpose and with the exact genetic gifts he required to fulfill it for us and to leave us with a long-lasting contribution. He didn't need to be understood in order to take his turn and gift the world his brilliance. He just did it. When I feel into the heart of the millennial generation, I feel that's what we're trying to do, too. What I want to do is remind the world that they can trust us. And rather than scrutinize this generation, I want to shine a light on the things we do well, how much we care, and how we're doing our very best with the tools we have. We're often misunderstood, regularly criticized, sometimes praised, definitely analyzed. But we are here for a very specific reason, carrying with us very specific genetic gifts in order to take our turn to change the world. I watch videos, I read articles of people all over the world trying to explain this generation, and I have not yet heard or read one that truly hits the nail on the head. It's their parents' fault. It's their phones. It's just their attitude. Perhaps all of the above. I mean, we do love the occasional Insta-scroll while sitting on the toilet, and we do roll our eyes at a lot of things, like too much carbon dioxide in the air, camouflage pants that zip off at the knee, and water bottles that still have BPA in them. But seriously, I want to save everyone the time and energy spent on trying to figure this crazy-ass generation out. Could it be that a generation of people could actually, simply, evolve? Do you want to know why millennials have brought standards, methods, and attitudes that are so new and foreign that the world has little panic attacks over it? Let me give you a one-word explanation, and the only one you need. Evolution. Evolution is the reason our generation doesn't do a thing the same way as our parents. When it came time for God, or Source, or the Storks, or whatever you believe, to create millennials, he scrolled Instagram and pulled out the Maya Angelou quote, "Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better." Which is a nice eloquent way of saying that the world required some new people, with new equipment, with new standards. So he created them. I was watching Shark Tank the other day, and one of the pitchers shared that they have a social cause attached. I think it was to save the elephants. Lori Grenier asked, "But what's different about your product? Every company has a social cause attached to it now." And it's true, because that's what evolution demands of us. We were born different because the world requires different. it doesn't mean that the world before us was broken. It means that in order for the world to evolve in the direction of increased consciousness, that the people being born on earth needed to be born fitted with the appropriate equipment. And we were. There is still poverty on earth, so we were gifted a new genetic wiring that allows us to have the highest collective sense of genuine empathy that the world has known for centuries. We're equipped with a "but of course" approach to building social causes into our companies, as if they're meant to be there. We're equipped with an inherent mission and a collective goal to see every person on earth be able to access their basic needs by the time we exit this earth. There are still remnants of inequality, racism, sexism, religionism. So we were gifted with a new set of DNA that allows us to be the most civically minded generation since the early 30s and 40s, caring more about society as a whole than as us as individuals. There are now more people on earth than ever, and the environment is at its most vulnerable in history. So we are gifted with an inherent intolerance for environmental abuse and a non-negotiable commitment to raising the standard for all policies, companies, and practices that impact our planet. Workaholism has been glorified to the point that it is a deadly disease. So we were gifted new ideas that allow us to evolve the traditional working day, environment, and pressures, and yes, have beanbag office chairs and work-from-home policies. The world is still divided, so we were gifted with a greater sense of unity, oneness, and an increased sense of global-mindedness. There are still broken systems, corruption, and shit that just doesn't serve the world anymore. So here we are, gifted with our greatest gift ever as a generation, our divine intolerance. Divine intolerance. Divine intolerance is my way of explaining this attitude we have. Yes, we do have an attitude, and it's real, so damn real. It was gifted to us at birth along with our Tamagotchis, hoop earrings, and the big lungs that we used to blow the dust off our Sega Mega Drive games before we'd plug them in and play. But even though it looks like attitude, smells like attitude, and sounds like attitude, it's so much more than attitude. It's divine intolerance. Divine intolerance is a genetically wired piece of equipment that was placed in us by God himself with instructions that read, "Do not tolerate anything that doesn't support the life and the world you're here to create. Got it? Okay, go." Divine intolerance applies to anything that doesn't align with how we know the world can be. We didn't come to this planet to cruise along and leave this place exactly as we found it. We came with a vision for better. Our vision is a thriving planet, taken care of by all who are lucky enough to call it home. Our vision is a world where all people have their basic needs met, and no more tippy-toe excuses for why some people are starving and some are spending $60,000 on a teaspoon of caviar. Our vision is a world where people really freaking thrive. Not the workaholism that has families torn apart and people collapsing due to heart disease. And this vision is why we won't buy from companies who don't do business ethically and sustainably. This is why we can't stay in jobs where we're expected to wear pinstripe skirts, baggy suits, and stare at a computer for 10 hours in exchange for 2 weeks of vacation. Total. This is why we collaborate so abundantly in ways that used to be pretty much illegal in the old competitive world of, you gotta beat their ass. We are different because we need to be different. Our world can't change unless we change. If the world kept going the way it's always gone, and humans were being put on Earth with the exact same genetic equipment as before, then how would we ever evolve, thrive, grow, heal? We millennials are so deeply respectful for every generation that has come before us, how they have led us, raised us, given to us, taught us, and for the world they created for us. I tell my mom regularly how much I admire so many things about her and her generation. Their courtesy, how they always call to RSVP, how they won't leave anything unanswered, even if it's a Facebook comment by a random person in Japan, how rich in tradition they are, how important belly-to-belly community is, how their word means everything, and how handwritten cards will always trump a text message. Everything was perfect then, and everything is perfect now. So to the world, hello, we are millennials. Please trust us. We are progressive. We are conscious. We are compassionate. We are creative. We are bold. We are courageous. We are nomadic. We are diverse. We are accepting. We are collaborative. We are adventurous. And yes, we are impatient. We are impatient because we were fitted with a set of genetic equipment that has us super clear on how we know the world can be. We question everything and argue anything that makes us want to vomit up our kombucha and superfood version of Cocoa Pops. We attach a social cause to all of our companies because purpose is a million times more important to us than profit. We do want beanbags and more fun working hours because we know that workaholism and unflattering suits just aren't the way anymore. We might be on our phones all the time, but chances are we're creating a GoFundMe page, setting up a new company, posting something dope on Insta, or doing something that's trying to make the world better. We laugh a lot and spend more time creating and playing than generations before us did, but not because we're lazy, but because we know we all need to lighten up. Work needs to be done here. Things need to be upgraded. It's how evolution works. We don't need to be understood. We need to be trusted. We are simply using our upgraded genetic equipment to expand and excite this beautiful world and make it a planet worthy of housing the next brilliant generation. We are divinely intolerant of anything that doesn't work for our collective anymore. To the world, my message is, trust us. To millennials, my message is, Earth is hiring you. To the next generation, my message is, we know your genetic equipment is going to blow our freaking minds, so we're doing our bit to prime this beautiful planet in time for you and your brilliance to take your turn. Why this book? For the last half of a decade, I have had the privilege of working with some of the most conscious, influential, heart-centered millennials on Earth. I have a deep, deep love, respect, admiration, and understanding for what lies in the heart of this generation. In the beginning, this book was going to be solely for millennials, because, well, I get them. Seriously, I feel like a protective mama bear when it comes to our generation. Yet, as much as I wanted to write a guidebook solely for my beloved generation, resistance kicked my butt again and again and again. Every time I'd get to around chapter 10, I'd go traveling or get caught up in my work and events, which meant that I had to put the book off till I got back, which meant till whenever I got inspired again. I'd start the book, stop the book, start the book, stop the book. It was like I was getting whiffs of inspiration and big, fat clock blocks. One and then the other. After 3 failed attempts at completing a manuscript or coming up with any sort of structure that resembled a book, I became pregnant with our first child. That changed everything, because there it was, all of the clarity and inspiration I ever could have wanted, delivered to me in the form of a baby growing in my womb. I was being clock-blocked all those times trying to write this book, because this book wasn't meant to just be for millennials. As I write this book, I am a millennial who is carrying the next generation in her womb. And by the time you read or listen to this, she will be here. And I realize that soon it will be my child's turn to light up the world like we're doing now. I don't think I've ever felt more inspired to contribute to our planet as I do now. I want my kids to know how we felt when we were contributing to their world and that we cared. I want them to know that when it's their turn to lead this beautiful collective, that we'll be cheering them on all the way, honoring their new equipment and how they've evolved from where we are now. I want this book to unite us as a team and help lighten the load that so many of us feel when we think of our role to change or save the world. I want this book to be a gift to the world of all that I've learned from being yet another human with the privilege of walking this earth at this brilliantly badass time. And so it is. This book is a conversation about the new way to live, lead, earn, and give. It is a collection of insights and ideas about how we can and how we are changing the world. It's an invitation to the new superheroes, the people all over the world who give a shit about each other and our Earth, to lighten up in our work as game changers. It's a timestamp so that our kids and their kids can read it and say, oh, so that's what you were growing through back then. Finding my way. I'm 28 years old as I write this. born in 1988. I was born and raised in Fremantle, Western Australia, by a single mum who is my hero. I was one of four kids and I kicked butt at school. I was an overachiever when it came to academics and a sports and fitness fanatic. By the way, sport is the way a single mum successfully raises four kids. Mum always said that routine was her saving grace and the reason our home and life had order. So going to sport every night and every weekend, always being a part of a community and having a clear schedule for all of us for the week ahead, that was her secret sauce. Work ethic was never a problem for me. I saw it in my mum and it was embedded in my cells. Since the age of 13, I worked over 20 jobs throughout high school, some of which earned me $5.15 an hour. I worked at the bakery, slicing cold meat at the deli, leading horses around fairs, doing the paper drop in my neighborhood, the checkout chick jobs, a sandwich artist at Subway. I had a goal. I was going to become a doctor by the time I was 25 years old. I loved the human body, and I loved helping people. Promptly after graduating high school with a TER of 94.5, several soccer championships, and academic awards that had the nerd in me smiling from ear to ear, I began my science degree at the University of Western Australia. I had my sights set on a PhD in exercise physiology. Upon completing my undergraduate degree, I was awarded a spot in the honors program in exercise physiology. My thesis on the effects of dehydration during exercise on subsequent appetite was published with first class honors, and I was given a PhD scholarship. I was 22. There I was, crushing goals and breezing along my chosen path. Less than 3 years and I could write Dr. in front of my name. Dr. Peter Kelly, by the time I was 25, that was my goal, and I was crushing it. It wasn't until I was a semester into my PhD studies that I started to notice what I'd been pretending not to notice. I was struggling to get out of bed each day. Ugh, was all I could think when it was time to go to the lab. I found myself counting down the days and hours to what? That's when it hit me. I was 22, blasting forward toward my goal and going through the motions. I hadn't stopped to consciously check in on what my soul wanted me to be doing. But then again, at that point in my life, I was quite unfamiliar with the term soul. Regardless, I was faced with an ugly truth. I wasn't happy. In fact, the only reason I was continuing my PhD program was because of the shoulds it carried. You should finish it, because you're so lucky to be where you are, Peter. You should finish it, because everything takes hard work and not everything is meant to feel good. You should finish it, because you set it as a goal and you must complete every goal. You should finish it, because Dr. Kelly is the pinnacle of success. There were so many shoulds that should was taking up the majority of noise in my head. I couldn't hear anything else. It felt like there was a boombox in my head, blasting only one channel. What Peter should do. One morning I was lying in bed, having that few minutes of contemplation before getting up. Rather than do my usual scan over all the things I had to do that day and give myself the get up and move pep talk, my tummy dropped and it went quiet. The shoulds got so loud that it felt like I must have blew the speakers blasting inside my head. Everything went silent. I had clarity. I could hear. You're done, Peter. Leave your PhD. Honors was enough. There's more for you. Happiness is the way, not the result. It was like my soul finally got the chance to speak and spat out what she wanted to say in the 20 seconds of quiet she had to reach me. In those brief 20 seconds, I gained courage. That same day, I walked into my supervisor's office and told her that I was going to defer my PhD. I was a mess, crying myself through a mix of relief and mega anxiety. What had I just done? What was I going to do? My family had no business background. Sure, my mum was a hard-working high school teacher who gifted us with amazing work ethic, and I knew my dad to be pretty smart with money, but I didn't know anything other than science and school and sport. I had no idea what I was going to do, but I knew that I just wanted to feel happy and free. Freedom was what I craved the most. I didn't want to feel how I felt rolling up to my PhD or rolling up to train a PT client. You know, that Just gotta get it done. Can't wait till it's over. Feeling? I knew that life wasn't meant to be made up of days when we count down the hours until they're over. There was just something about this slog it out all day for, you name it, amount of money, that didn't feel good to me. I knew how to work hard, but my cells were singing a different song, asking me for something different. I wanted to work hard for something that would reward me more than just a few days off and a limited paycheck. And what about my dreams? How did people live these big dreams they posted about on Instagram with the hashtag, if only? Did people honestly just wait to win the lotto? One of my dreams was to soon retire my mum from her 40-year career as a school teacher so that she could relax for the first time since we were born. She worked her ass off every single day, not just as our mum, but as a full-time English teacher, the woman who handled the bullies and tough kids at school, the soccer coach, and the chairman of our athletics club. She gave and served and gave, and she never complained about it, but it was exhausting her. When I was young, I used to say to my brother and sisters, "You need to help with the dishes. Mum is so stressed, can't you see?" She sold her cars so we could go on soccer trips. She slept on the couch for a few years too, because we didn't have enough bedrooms in the house. I slept in the garage we converted into a makeshift bedroom. We were surrounded by love and grew up feeling like the luckiest kids on earth, never going without a thing. But my mum deserved a break, and I took responsibility for giving it to her. I had planned to do this by becoming a Dr. Peter Kelly, because my relatively big income post-PhD would allow me to pass some on to my mum. But the universe had a different plan for me and for my mum. And looking back, what I realize is that the universe was definitely paying attention to my dream and guiding me right to it. Although, as is typical of humans, I took my sweet-ass time to notice. Sans PhD route, I started thinking, maybe I could start a metabolism business. I'd start a traditional small business and just expand it, working for myself and nobody else. I had personal training clients too, so I could always expand that for the time being. Or I could get a job as an exercise physiologist for money until I got my shit sorted and set up a business that allowed me to be in control. I wasn't super clear, but I also wasn't worried. So I did what any wise 22-year-old does in between jobs. I moved my stuff out of my share house with my friends and moved back into my mum's place. Good old mum's place, always there when I needed a little comfort pause throughout early adulthood, and a pantry full of snacks I'd only eat if mum bought them. Then I went traveling with my friend Joe around Southeast Asia, and it was Joe who introduced me to the solution and the next step that the universe had in store for me, and it was not what I ever would have expected. Network marketing. Hang on. Don't think you are about to read a book about network marketing, but this is an important part of my story, so listen in. Network marketing, what is that? I never heard of it before. Is that the Tupperware thing? A pyramid scheme? The words network marketing didn't resonate with me at all. I was a scientist, a free spirit. I wanted freedom, and I absolutely wanted integrity. I didn't want to sell things to my friends. Is that what I'd have to do? Or is network marketing a techie thing? Until Joe explained it to me, I had no idea. This was a business model attached to a product. If you love the product, you share it with people. The product was a wellness system called Isagenics, which means balance in ancient language. This business model and word-of-mouth marketing just sounded too airy-fairy for me. I was a scientist, and I didn't see any evidence of it actually working. At least not for young people in Australia. I bought the product happily, but I ignored this network marketing thing. When we got home, I came to personally love the product. I felt really good. So naturally, I began sharing the product with my clients, family, and friends. Boom! Without even realizing it, I was actually doing this network marketing thing pretty well. How had this business model just woven its way into my life without me even wanting it to? I paid attention. I learned about this business model and I realized how well it fit into what I wanted for my life. Bigger, boom. I wanted to help people. I wanted my hard work to go further than just a paycheck and a few days off. I wanted an income that allowed me to travel the world, give bountifully to charities I cared about, afford organic food and a pair of runners when I wore the tread of my old ones, and I really wanted to retire my mum. I learned this business model and I went to work to build it my way. The good thing about there being no young people in Australia doing this network marketing thing was that I had to create what it actually meant for my generation. And what it meant for me was so much bigger than just a product or a business model. I had discovered a way that my generation could live life on our own terms. I saw it, and I made it my mission to cast this vision for as many young people as I could. People didn't know that there was any other way other than their 9-to-5 or the path their parents had laid out for them. I'd give presentations to hundreds of people weekly to cast this vision, and one of my favorite slides had the words, "What does your ideal day look like?" I'd get everyone to close their eyes and really think about it. Some people open their eyes teary. Some people open their eyes looking at me as if to say, "Are you off your head? This is real life. We don't just get to live our ideal days." This idea of living your ideal day every day was new to my generation. But it was what we wanted, what we craved. We wanted freedom from the restraints that limited our parents. We weren't here to travel the same path as our parents did. We were here to do things a new way. The new way. I began to travel the world and started working from a laptop. I was ignoring the common and normal ways of living and earning. It was a huge leap, but then, as always, a net appeared. I had the realization that my generation was battling advice that wasn't working for them, for us, at all. We were called to live in a new way. It was something that so many people my age were feeling, but something that so many of us were struggling to make real. This new way extended far beyond working independently from an office, choosing your own hours, following your bliss, and not following what looks good on the resume. The new way was a paradigm shift. It was created by my generation, the millennials. And as exciting as this new way was for us, it came with a lot of pain, pushback, and judgment from the generations that preceded us. They called us selfish, lazy, ignorant, and entitled. Just because we didn't want to do things the way they did. Because we didn't believe in sitting at a desk for 10 hours a day just to earn enough money to live a little on the weekends. Because we didn't believe in following the traditional route of success to establish a career. Because we didn't want to answer to an unappreciative boss who didn't value our contributions. I began to realize that the kids of my class were simply wired so differently from our parents. We had different equipment. In some cases, we were physically unable to tolerate the patterns of life that came before us. And that's just the way of evolution. I was watching Animal Planet the other night, and I saw a mongoose eat a cobra. What? The coolest part was that the mongoose wasn't even scared of the cobra. The voiceover told us that the mongoose has evolved to be resistant to the venom of cobras, which can actually kill a human. They have developed this over time, so they can attack and eat cobras to survive. I also read the other day about a new type of house mouse that all of a sudden has immunity to warfarin, which is the poison used to fight infestations. Animals change as their circumstances change, so they can be better adapted to their new environment, and so do we. We were born on a planet that requires an urgent upgrade of respect and care, and so our generation was born with a collective and innate responsibility to ensure we take care of it. It's no mistake that sustainable practices are normal and required when it comes to the companies millennials build. I have come to learn that the attitude that many say we have is a divine intolerance of a way that doesn't work anymore, and it extends far beyond time and financial freedom. By the time I was 25, I was earning $1 million a year. Me, a girl raised in one of the most isolated cities in the world, who grew up sleeping in the garage of our cozy but way too small family home. Perth, Western Australia, is the southwestern part of the country. The population is about 2 million, and the closest city is Adelaide, 2,200 kilometres away. There are over 12,500 kilometres of coastline along Western Australia. It's a big place. It's easier for us to fly to Bali from Perth than to any other Aussie city. Me, a kid raised by a single mom raising three other kids. I used to be wannabe doctor with zero business experience. Yeah, me. I was making my own money, running my own business. I was in my early 20s, and my sole purpose had become teaching young people how to get out of the rat race and begin to live their highest visions for themselves. It was time and freedom of location, but it was also so much more than that. I was showing them how to live in the new way, and I was learning along the way. In 2014, we celebrated Christmas in New York City as a family. It was one of my mom's lifelong dreams. We'd never been able to go on family holidays growing up, so it was a real moment of wow. And then, in April 2015, my brother, who was also building a network marketing business, and myself retired my mom. We did it together. One of my biggest goals in the world had been ticked. So how does it get any better than that? Over the next few years, I achieved a lot. I was speaking on big stages, leading a big, beautiful team from all over the world, being featured in magazines, and traveling the world nonstop. I was young and making millions, but all of a sudden, my schedule was all monstrous 16-hour days. I was moving at such a pace that my brakes were nowhere to be seen, zooming down a hill in the world's fastest car with broken brakes. I didn't stop much to look up, take a pause, and tune in to where I was in my life and how I was feeling. I believed I was here to help more people, speak on more stages, do more good work, give to more charities, kick more goals. I was young and making millions, but similar to my PhD years, I was carrying around the old models of success, which screamed more, 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 trapped by the collective pursuit for more, more, more. I was burning out, creating content, giving money to charity, training and mentoring millennials across the globe, but each night when my head hit the pillow, I was empty. Sure, I wasn't sitting at a desk for 10 hours working for a boss who pissed me off, but I still wasn't modeling a kind of success that felt good. I was flying when I didn't feel like flying, and I was saying yes when I really meant no. Social media had me feeling the fear of never doing enough, and hustle became my most frequently used word because hustling was the only way to go about getting what you want. My life was long days and late nights. I was doing it all, but my dissatisfaction kept me acutely aware that there was more to this paradigm shift. Eventually, I moved to the United States to be with my now husband, where I was thrust into the collective pace of the American lifestyle, which further showed me what the new way was not. I had just spent the last few years defending the burgeoning ideals of millennials, and I continued to wake up every single day to be a voice for them. Now I realize that I had to be the voice for this new way because it is so much deeper than we had ever defined. I had been completely missing the point. It was time to evolve from network marketing and into a new phase of my life. My message had evolved. The new way wasn't just about working from our laptops all over the world and being our own bosses. No, that was Freedom 1.0, and that song had been sung. It was time for a new song, a new evolved mission, and a new awareness. Now I create communities, mentoring programs, and events which are part of Genius, a global hub of nakedly brilliant people mobilized in the new way to create epic shit. I create events like the New Way Live, which celebrate all things the new way, unite a generation, and take the heavy and serious charge of this world-changing stuff. I am in love with building and creating and supporting conscious enterprises, not just for profits, and studying the spirit of these entities. Is hustle and grind really the message of the new way? Is financial freedom really what it's all about? Is living life on our terms really the summit of this mission? Is the new way about becoming more successful than our generations before us? No, 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 and no. We've evolved. The new way is not just about having more money at the end of the month. Success, as we've been taught, is not sufficient. Success to our generation looks and feels completely different to what it looked and felt like to generations before us. The religious separation that our parents' generation know is torturing our hearts. Our planet isn't a place for us to holiday, but a place of permanent residence with the requirement that we nurture and love our Mother Earth as our one collective mother. There is no top when it comes to leadership, but instead we're all about the power of tribe. We don't care to move forward at lightning speed, but would rather stop and go back to our indigenous roots and ensure that ancient wisdoms are never forgotten. Taking care of our brother and sisters who are without basic necessities is the only way we all win. Play is everything. We're here to change the world, but we've got to stop taking it so seriously. We're here to use our talents and abilities to create epic shit, but we've got to stop missing the point along the way. It's time for us to thrive like no previous generation. It's time for us to show the world how good it's really meant to be, because we've evolved into living what the new way really is. Hence, this book. It wasn't until I was growing one of the next generation of conscious custodians in my womb that I realized what my real intention was for defining the new way to live, lead, earn, and give. I wanted to create a timestamp, a way to document this time on Earth so that it can be enjoyed as both a nostalgic gift and a reference to how this generation navigated our time here. I hope that my daughter in my womb and all of the beautiful humans yet to come are proud of me and us for doing our best for each other and for the world they're inheriting from us. Introduction. Now listen to this and then we'll begin. Earth is hiring. At age 22, I rolled up to work at 5:15 a.m., and my boss berated me for having a slightly off-center top knot. God, could you at least have done your hair today? While looking at me up and down in disgust. It was then that I decided I didn't want to have a boss ever again, at least not a boss who walked, talked, and wore shoes. So when I started creating my own businesses in my early 20s, we'd always say, I am my own boss, and I work for myself. Think of it as language that comes in the entrepreneur's starter pack. But the truth is, we do have a boss. And her name is Earth. Now imagine that no matter what you've been building or creating, no matter who you are working for, you've just stumbled upon the greatest job posting of all time. And the recruitment agency that found you? God, universe, divine, infinite spirit, Lord, divinity, creator, or in my words, source. The job? Be the new superhero. Your boss? Mother Earth. The new superhero. No, you're not going to receive a cape in the mail with Captain Planet written in glitter on the back, but you can wear a cape or distressed jeans or yoga pants or whatever you want. No, there is no preferred race, body shape, IQ, religion, or sexual orientation. Just as you are, please. And no one is going to require you to go about knocking on doors declaring that you're here to save the Earth. But you kinda are. Job responsibilities of the new superhero. The new superhero will help others stop taking this change the world thing so seriously by encouraging other people to lighten up, to care and not worry, and to stop moving so fast that you miss the point. This position will be responsible for revealing his or her own humanity and encouraging others to do so, for giving a really big shit about the Earth and about other people, for rewriting the world's money story, ideally by rewriting his or her own, for creating conscious enterprises that surprise and delight us all, and for putting pleasure higher up on the to-do list than should. As an ambassador for Earth, the new superhero will always find play in the profound and fun in the important. And remember that one of the greatest powers in being human, the messy, oh my God, I fucked up, but I really give a shit about the world, humanity. You've got this book in your hand or in your ears because you care. You give a shit. You're human, ready to play, get a little messy, and of course, make some change. Chances are you're a millennial, so you already have all the qualifications and credentials to be the new superhero. You are born with them. And what you're listening to right now is actually your training manual. Congratulations, you're hired. The new way to live, lead, earn, and give. This book is not a Bible-like set of instructions or a bold claim of this is the way and it has to be your way. God no. Talk about an attitude that will stray us from unity. It is a guideline for how our generation and all those who give a shit can live, lead, earn, and give differently than what we have been. I call it the new way. pause here. We reserve the right to change our minds. My greatest challenge in writing this book was to not put in everything I know and everything I'm learning on the pages. Perhaps there will be more second or third editions, but in writing Earth is Hiring, I became acutely aware that our views change, our thoughts evolve, and that as a writer, my integrity is not limited to having the same beliefs forever, but my integrity expands to letting go of what might be my truth in the future so that I can share with the world what my truth is now. So, I reserve the right to change my mind, as do you, always. How to use this book. That's just one tip for getting the most out of this book, and here are some others. Take what feels good and leave the rest. This isn't gospel. Listen to it in order, living, leading, earning, and giving. It will make more sense. However, if you're particularly hungry for business and money, skip straight to it. I won't stop you. I believe it gets better as you go. It crescendos and then does a full circle. The book goes full circle, meaning how it begins links up with how it ends. Be sure to finish it. Unless you can't stand it, then don't finish it. I encourage you get the written version of this book, because throughout it, there are drawings, goodies, and even crosswords thrown in. You'll find some letters to my daughter, Sol, who was in my womb at the time of writing, or out of my womb by the time you're reading, in these pages. I just had to. It helps us to remember that there are beautiful little people watching us, thanking us, and depending on us. With the new way comes new words and phrases. In the written version of this book, I've highlighted them in bold, but I will read out the glossary once I've finished recording this book. Connect with others reading this book and me by using the hashtag #EarthIsHiring on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Also check out earthishiring.com so you can join me online or in person. Tag, you're it. Give what feels good. I believe expanding our consciousness is a game of tag, you're it. We're all just lighting each other up along the way, so I encourage everyone to gift one of these books to themselves and one or two to your friends who you feel are fellow game changers. I've included a section at the front of the hardcover version of this book where you can write your friend's name and what you love about them. Once they receive it, tag, they're it. Section 1. Living. Choosing your alignment and raising your vibration are your greatest gifts to this planet, period. You don't have to worry about not being of value to the world when you're in tune with Source, because Source is always of value to the world. Abraham Hicks. Freely living is the element of the new way that is all about you and how you can raise your vibration to live in radical, glorious alignment. Stop missing the point. Your vibration is your greatest gift to our planet. Before we get cranking, if you're anything like me, you often skip past the preface and introduction of the book and hurry straight to the chapters. If you did that with this one, please turn back. My husband read the intro and preface to my book and said, "This could be the whole book. That's scary because I usually skip past them." I promised him I'd make sure you did not miss them. Okay, so shall we dive straight in? How you doing? Most people in the world are not having a very good time. Here we are at such a beautiful, privileged, exciting, albeit at times challenging, sad, and sometimes scary, time for our planet, and the majority of people you meet on the street are not enjoying themselves all that much. They aren't feeling good at all. In fact, when you ask someone the question, "How are you?" how often do you think you would get an answer like, "Brilliant, magical, wonderful, happy, fantastic"? Not often. You get a lot of fines. Before I go on, let's get one thing clear. I'm not referring here to the people who are suffering due to geographical, cultural, economic situations, or those who are really incredibly underprivileged. I'm talking about asking the people who are so freaking blessed to live beautiful, wonderful, privileged lives in free countries, the people who have the house, the job, the partner, the vacation time. These are the people who are still not having a very good time. And yes, even those super-duper spiritual people who have dedicated their lives to fighting for our planet and our people are not having a very good time. And the people who live their life preaching about success and motivation and winning, don't feel all that good if you ask them. Many of those who have achieved the American dream rarely answer the question with magical or happy or brilliant. There exists a collective dissatisfaction and